I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to be cooking up cubanos, inspired by the 2014 film Chef.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Welcome to episode 29 of Cooking with Fire. Today we're kicking off a series of podcasts where Tom and I get to remake some of our favorite looking dishes from some of our favorite films about food.
Now, whether or not you liked the movie Chef is irrelevant, because no one could argue that they didn't nail the food portion. The dishes are inspiring, and the food photography is wonderful. Roy Choi, the famed creator of the Kogi Korean Taco Truck in LA, was not only an inspiration for the film, but was hired to help Jon Favreau develop his culinary skills. Choi also created all of the recipes for Chef, so we have him to thank for all of the wonderful food in the film.
In the film Chef, director and star Jon Favreau's Chef Carl Casper has had a bit of a breakdown due to a harsh review from a well-known internet food critic. When he confronts the critic in a restaurant full of people, the scene is recorded by the patrons in the restaurant and uploaded for everyone to see on the internet.
To say that Carl isn't internet savvy is an understatement, and his ineptness with technology only causes his problems to grow.
After losing his job, he travels to Miami with his ex-wife and son and ends up with a food truck. Martin, a line cook from Carl's former kitchen, joins him as they plan to drive the truck from Miami to LA, selling sandwiches along the way.
Miami, I am back, pal.
You could have just bought this at the store. I think they sold it there.
You sure that's your son, man? You better get a paternity test.
Oh, look at that. Looks like that. Gotta get a little.
Can I have some? Please, just give me some.
It's not from the store. You might
it's
not
fatty, but not heavy,
please,
you know?
Give it to me. Guys, give it to me.
No, you don't want any of this.
Yes,
man.
I do.
You're probably a vegan anyhow.
You can't eat this.
I'm not vegan.
It's not from the store.
Oh, my God.
Martin, come on. Martin, can
wait,
I have
wait,
some?
Wait, 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 wait.
Hold on a second.
Come on.
Can I give him a piece?
No, nah, man. He's not. All right,
just a little
all right.
piece.
Let me think
just a little
about
piece.
It.
Let's see.
Pretty good.
Better
pretty
than the store?
Good. Come on.
This is one of my favorite moments in the film. Carl's son Percy doesn't seem to understand why Martin and his father are so excited about the roasted mojo pork, and doesn't seem too impressed when he takes his first bite either.
But all of this changes as they drive across the country and begin selling cubanos to patrons in cities like New Orleans and Austin, Texas. But you'll need to watch the film yourself to get the full story. And be on the lookout for the cameo from famed Texas barbecue pitmaster Aaron Franklin. But what about these cubanos, or Cuban sandwiches? What's their story?
The Cuban sandwich did not, as you would assume, originate in Cuba. Instead, the sandwich was first created in Ybor City, a neighborhood in Tampa, Florida. Ybor City was founded in the late 1800s by a Cuban cigar maker, Vincent Martinez Ybor, and became home to many immigrants from Cuba, Spain, and Italy. Ybor City was known for its many cigar factories, but it was also home to Sicilian-born baker Francisco Ferlita.
Francisco opened the La Joven Francesca Bakery and created the first loaf of Cuban bread. Cuban bread is similar to European loaves with a few differences. One of the major differences is the inclusion of lard in the recipe. The bread is flat and rather square when compared to European breads with a crusty exterior and flaky interior. This is the original bread for the Cuban sandwich, but you can use another long loaf like Italian or French bread since they're easy to pick up at any local grocery store.
The filling for a Cuban changes depending on where you are. The typical filling for the modern Cuban sandwich is sliced or shredded pork, ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard. In Tampa, you will also see the addition of salami on the Cuban sandwich, no doubt due to the influence of Italian immigrants who lived in Ybor City. So if you wanted to be precise, you would include salami to make a traditional Cuban sandwich, since Tampa is the origin point. But the later versions that came out of Miami did not include salami, and many leave it out as the dish became increasingly popular only after it spread from its Ybor City roots. Now is the perfect time to get into the recipe. Roy Choi's Cubano sandwich from the film Chef. So let's cut out to Chef Tom in the All Things Barbecue Teaching Kitchen and get started.
So I'm here in the Teaching Kitchen at All Things Barbecue and mixing up my mojo marinade for our mojo pork cubanos. I've got a lot of the ingredients in this bowl already. What we're working with is some extra virgin olive oil, cilantro, orange zest, orange juice. I'm getting ready to juice the last of my limes here. We've also got some mint in here and plenty of garlic, as well as some oregano and cumin. And I'm just going to get the last... now this lime juice in here. We'll give you all of the ingredient amounts in the recipe, as we always do, at KMUW.org. And of course, we're taking this based right off of Roy Choi's recipe, which we've been talking about. All right, so I'm going to give this a whisk. And I'm going to transfer this to a plastic bag that's big enough to hold our pork roast. And our pork roast is simply the boneless half of the pork butt, the Boston butt. We want about a 3.5-pound portion. So if you buy a nice big 7-pound or 8-pound pork butt, just cut off that half that doesn't have the blade bone in it and use that. And then you can save the other half for doing barbecue or braising or whatever else you guys want to do with that other half. All right, so let's get our pork butt into the plastic bag. And then we're gonna add our marinade. All right, I'm gonna give this a little massage. Try to squeeze out most of the air. And then this is going into the refrigerator overnight.
We're marinating this in a mojo sauce, which has a bit of a history itself. In fact, some of you may have a different recipe in your head for mojo sauce.
Mojo sauce originated in Portugal and made its way to the Canary Islands off of the west coast of Northern Africa. Immigrants from the Canary Islands came to Cuba and brought this sauce with them. And as with most immigrant populations, the sauce was updated with the ingredients available to them. In this case, this includes citrus juice, typically bitter orange, and this version of mojo sauce made its way to Florida and the southern United States as Cubans began immigrating here.
Now let's cut back to Chef Tom and get our pork shoulder onto the smoker.
All right, so here we are, next morning, ready to pull our pork butt out of the refrigerator, out of the marinade. So I'm just gonna put this back into a bowl, just the pork butt. Can discard the marinade at this point. If some of that marinade's still stuck to the outside of the pork butt, that's perfect. We're actually gonna use that to get the salt and the pepper to adhere to the outside, and we get some of those flavors, that acid and that garlic, those herbs. That's fine if that's on the surface. So at this point, I'm gonna grab some salt and pepper and very simply season the outside. All right, all surfaces. And you can go fairly liberal with this. This is a large cut of meat, and it's gonna cook for a few hours. All right, I'm gonna let that sit for about 5 minutes, and then we're gonna run it out to the grill. We have our Yoder pellet smoker preheated to 450 degrees today. It's running nice and hot because we really wanna get some color on the outside. All right, so we'll place our pork butt right here in the center on the top rack, where the air can move all the way around it. And we're gonna give it about 45 minutes to brown up the outside. 45 minutes, looking pretty good. I checked on it at 30, it looked like it could use a little more time. We're getting a little color on the outside. At this point, I don't want it to get too dark, so I'm gonna turn it down to 400 degrees, and we'll continue to cook this for another couple of hours until the internal temperature reaches 160 to 170 degrees. But since we turned the temperature down from 450 to 400 degrees, it's been about 2 hours, and this thing is looking just beautiful on the smoker. I'm gonna get a quick reading with our thermometer. Well, we're sitting right at about 170 degrees, so this is fully cooked. It's not broken down so far that it's going to be falling apart, but what I wanna do at this point is remove it from the grill. I'm just gonna set it here on my cutting board and let it rest for half an hour before I start slicing into it.
As Chef Tom noted, we are cooking our pork shoulder to 170 degrees internal temperature. This will allow us to slice it thin for building our sandwiches.
But if you are so inclined, or you have some leftover pulled pork in the fridge, it's not uncommon for shredded or pulled roasted pork to be used in a Cuban sandwich.
With that, let's build our sandwiches.
Now, while this pork butt is resting, I'm gonna go ahead and prepare some of the other ingredients. I'm back at the grill now. We're running at 400 degrees, indirect, but I have some grill grates in place that have a flat surface. This is going to be what we're gonna be toasting the Cubano on in the end, and for now, also what we'll be toasting our sliced deli ham on. So there's a couple different kinds of ham in this recipe. Of course, we've got the one that we just spent all that time roasting. We're also going to add some thin sliced ham. We want to get this crisp on the grill first. So put a little butter down and put our slices of ham on the grate that really is working like a griddle at this point. If you've got a griddle at home, that would be the perfect tool for this activity. All right, so once we get a little bit of browning, a little bit of crispiness on the ham, we flip it over, get a little bit more on the other side. And it only takes a couple of minutes. And this is exactly where we want it. Now that we've got the ham done, I'm also going to take this time to put a little bit of crispiness on our bread. So we've split our bread, and we're going to put these cut side down on top of some butter here on the griddle, get a little bit of crispiness, a little bit of color on there, and then we can go slice our pork, assemble our sandwiches, and come back out to the grill. I'll tell you, while these are toasting, another thing we've done is added some grill weights to the inside of the grill to preheat. So we're going to try and cook this sandwich from both sides like you would on a panini press. The griddle is getting hot. The grill press is hot. We're going to be able to cook this from all sides so we get a nice crunchy exterior on the sandwich. Now I'm going to get to slicing our pork roast. I'm going to do my best here to try and go across the grain. There's a lot of muscles, though, in this that run different directions, so just do your best. And I'm slicing fairly thin. I would say I don't want to go any thicker than like a quarter inch. Oh, just tons of juice inside this thing. I wish you guys could smell it. All right, we've got that sliced up. Our bread is finished toasting, so it's time to build these sandwiches. So starting the assembly process, we're going to take our griddled, sliced ham, put that on the bottom, couple slices. Top that with a couple of slices of our roasted pork. We'll hit that with some Swiss cheese and a couple of slices of dill pickle, thinly sliced lengthwise, and hit the top of the bun with some yellow mustard. All right, this is ready to go on the grill. We're gonna butter the griddle. We're gonna butter the top bun, sandwich it down with the grill press, and wait for it to get golden and the cheese to melt.
Like that? Now watch. I want you to watch for the bread to get golden. I want you to watch for the cheese to melt. When that cheese is melted and that bread's golden but not burnt, you call me, you tell me it's done, and we'll check, okay? Keep an eye on it. I want you to watch everything that everybody's doing, because when we're hopping, you're gonna have to jump in on the line and help out.
I think it's done.
You think it's done? Oh, look at that. Okay, see how golden that is? That's how you want it to be every time. Nice, you gotta be like a robot when
you're on the line. All right, so grill presses are in place. They're giving us some nice color on top since they're preheated. Oh, bottom is looking beautiful. And that cheese is just starting to melt out the end. So this is the perfect time to come off the grill. Now, I don't often do this part with the podcast, but I can't help myself, guys. I'm going to dig in and let you know how we did today. Oh, that's amazing. Incredible texture on the outside. The crunch from the griddle is just fantastic, but the bread's still soft and chewy on the inside. I love the way the pickle contrasts with the fattiness of the pork, and who can resist melted Swiss cheese? I'd say that's a home run. Thanks, chef.
That does it for this episode. Let us know if you make this recipe and email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what else you'd like us to feature on the show. If you have a favorite food scene in a film, let us know what it is and we'll see if we can recreate it.
And as always, visit kmuw.org to get the full recipe for this week's cook.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. This allows us to reach more listeners. And join us next time as we cook up seafood risotto on the grill, inspired by the 1996 film Big Night.